Thank you, Dr. Park, for the introduction, and thank you all of you to be here listening. On a typical Southwest arid transition zone, here we have water consumption difference between the winter and the summer, where we clearly see the high consumption of water due to irrigation and landscape irrigation. And majors are trying to cut on those consumption of water. And we have several strategies to do. On this presentation, I'm mainly focusing on irrigation with recycle or selling water, use of warm season turf grass species, and increasing irrigation efficiency by using a drip irrigation, subsurface drip. And what we for sure don't want is a switch to artificial turf or reduce our area under irrigation. So the problem when we're using warm season grass in transition zone, it's they go dormant and they're not accepted by the people, by the population. So we're looking on literature, we see that there is a, can be, those dormancy can be shorter by a late application of nitrogen. And also we see that late application of nitrogen can have an effect on total unstructured carbohydrate content in the plant. So the objective of my research was to investigate turf grass quality and length of the growing season for Bermuda grass and Seashore Paspalum when different fertilization programs are applied. Also to study the warm season turf grass quality under selling and subsurface drip irrigation, and to investigate if the total non-structured carbohydrate is correlated with green color retention in the fall and faster green up in the spring. So for my material methods, I had two water quality, a potable at 500 ppm and a saline at 1,500 ppm, which matched our reclaimed water and is a saline groundwater. We had two irrigation system, a sprinkler, which has a distribution uniformity of 0.75, and that was measured three times per year, and a subsurface drip irrigation. As grasses, I had a sea spray for Seashore Paspalum and a Princess 77 for Bermuda grass. All plots were irrigated 80% of ET, reference evapotranspiration, and we have a mowing height of 2 centimeters, and plots were mowed 2 to 3 times per week. And the design was a complete randomized block with 3 replications. As my fertilization treatment, I had 2 different rates. One for Bermuda grass, which was 20 and 30 grams of nitrogen per 1,000 per square meter per year for Bermuda grass, and 10 and 20 grams of nitrogen per square meter per year for Seashore Paspalum. And this is different rate because if we look in the literature, we see that Seashore Paspalum required less nitrogen compared to Bermuda grass. Phosphorus, potassium, and iron were equally for all the treatments. I had also 5 different sources of urea, a regular urea granular applied every 15 days, urea applied foliar every 15 days, a barley green product from Helena, from Greek Brothers Company, which is a slow-release urea applied also every 15 days. Then we have a Coron, a liquid fertilizer from Helena Company, applied every 45 days, and a granular slow release applied also every 45 days. So for the data collection, we collect a visual rating, normalized differences, vegetation index, which is NDVI, and digital image analysis for green cover and color every 45 days. And then we had 3 sampling data for rhizomes and stolons in the plant. It was November, the beginning of our dormancy, in February, in the middle of the dormancy, in April, when we have the beginning of our green up. And those samples were also washed, lyophilized, and then grounded. They were followed by a cold carbohydrate extraction. Then we use ultra-performance liquid chromatography followed by a mass spectrophotometry to determine the content of glucose, fructose, sucrose, maltose, raffinose, and stachyose. And then we had also starch quantification with a previous digestion with amyloglucosidase and followed by Antron SA. And here we see a picture of our mass spec, New Mexico State, which provide me analysis for November, but not for the other treatments for February and April. Here's a typical elution from the sugars. We can see the peak of each sugar on the time. And by integrating the area under the peak, we are able to get the amount of sugars content. So my results for color retention in November 9, I had a significant interaction between grass and irrigation. I also a significant main effect of fertilizer type, and water quality did not affect any of my parameter measured. So for color retention, on the y-axis we see percentage of green cover, and on the bottom, name of the treatment. We had the Bermuda grass with 30 grams of nitrogen and the sprinkler irrigation has a much higher green cover compared, for example, with Paspalum at 10 grams under drip irrigation. Regarding my fertilizer type, I can say the granular slow release and the urea granular has provided highest green cover compared to the other three treatments. And a picture took on my plot on November 11, we can clearly see how the granular slow release has a much higher green cover compared to the other treatments. So the results for the spring green up, we use a sigmoidal regression to correlate the percentage of green cover with the days after March 5th, which are called DAM1. Our R-square was very high, between 0.86 and 0.99. And then we interpolate the day after March 5th to reach our 75% of green cover. We use 75% of green cover because of an unusual weather event in Las Cruces. We have a late frost on April 26th, and our seizure paspalum was very affected by winter kill, and it still hasn't some of the plot still hasn't recovered. Anyway, we have significant interaction between grass and irrigation. We had the main effect of significant fertilizer, and our water quality did not have an effect. For a spring green up, this graph we have to see in the opposite way, so which means the our Bermuda grass 20 under sprinkler and Bermuda grass 30 also under sprinkler can reach 75% around May 1st, whether, for example, Paspalum with 10 grams under drip irrigation reach the 75% at about 113 days after March 1st. Our fertilizer effect, we had also here the granular slow release can have we can reach 75% of coverage around May 21st, and our barley green fertilizer took almost 95 days to reach the 75%. And here's a picture on the seashore paspalum and the spink irrigation took on May 26th. You can clearly also here see the effect of the granular slow release compared to the other three products. For my carbohydrate, we saw the sucrose, and this is regarding the November sampling. You see, the sucrose was our most prevalent sugar in the stolons and rhizome of our plant. Bermuda grass rhizome had more fructose, stachyose, and raffinose compared to Seashore paspalum, and Bermuda grass stolons had more stachyose than Seashore paspalum. And here it's mainly a difference between those two species. No difference were found in maltose content in stolons and rhizome of the two grasses. And we also see a significant but weak correlation between our sucrose content in rhizomes and the number of days to reach our 75% of green cover. So the sucrose content in rhizomes, you can see our Bermuda grass 20 grams under sprinkler irrigation, Bermuda grass 30 grams under sprinkler irrigation, and paspalum 10 grams under sprinkler irrigation had highest sucrose content in rhizomes compared to all our drip treatments. For the sucrose content in stolons, we had a fertilizer effect. You can see the barley green is the product that provided the highest sucrose content in stolons. In conclusion, fertilizer type affect fall color retention and spring green up differently in Bermuda grass and Seashore paspalum. Water quality had no effect on our parameters. More research is needed on the role of sugars and color retention and green up. However, our first results indicate a correlation between sucrose content and spring and color fall in the fall. Our research emphasizes the importance of nitrogen management to shorten the dormancy of warm season grass in an arid transition zone climate. And how important is the fertilization? I can look on Google Earth and see all my different treatments on each of the plots from the satellite. I don't either have to go on the field anymore. So as a future worker, I'm planning to complete the sugar and the starch analysis for the two other sampling data, having a multi-year of data. Also, I was thinking of doing the protein analysis on those samples, and probably we have to equal the amount of nitrogen for Seashore paspalum and Bermuda grass. And I wanted to thank the company to provide the funding for our research and all the people who helped me during the sample collection and the research. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. The question was if I saw a difference between fertilizer on winter kill on Seashore paspalum. I see differences in green up, not in winter kill. Which means that the granular slow release was the one that provided the faster recovery, but it didn't provide a safety effect on the winter kill. All the plots were affected, either our NTEP trials. The question was what time of the day I collected my samples. It was the grass were dormant, so which means then supposedly no being difference between the time of the day. However, it was around between 10 and noon in the morning for all the sampling data.
And on soluble sugar analysis.
On the soluble?
No, on the soluble sugar analysis.
Yes. The sampling date, the sampling hour was between 10 a.m. and noon.
Thank you, Matteo.
Thank you.